Blog Talk Radio.
Strange Music.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? I'm here with, well, I guess you could say he's the sound of Strange Music, the man behind so many classics that you know and love, from Tech N9ne's Bout to Bubble, Welcome to the Midwest, Come Gangsta, the latest gem, Fans, which is available by pre-ordering all 6s and 7s, which we'll also get to in a minute. He was also all over Chris Calico's Shock Treatment and the latest album from Brother Lynch Hung, Coat Hanger Strangler. It's none other than Michael Seven Summers on the air. Seven, how you doing, man?
Pretty good. Pretty good. What's going on?
Oh, not much, man. It's a beautiful day in Kansas. Now, first, I want to ask you, how did you first get the opportunity to produce for Strange Music? Were you approached by Tech, or did you go to Tech?
I'm actually from Kansas City, so, man, a long time ago, actually, probably like 98 or like 99 maybe, there was a project a long time ago in Kansas City where everybody came together, and actually DJ Fresh put it together. It was called 50 MCs. And it was a project that I worked on, just did some production for, and that was like really the first time that I, you know, was involved with Kansas City on that level. And of course there was a song on there called Ready for the Meat Wagon, and it was a beat that I did, and DJ Fresh and the Popper ended up putting Tech on it, and that was like the first time that I, you know, got introduced to Tech. And you know, ever since that project, I kind of, you know, tried to stay involved with Tech as much as possible. And of course, when he did Ever Ready, I came up with the track Come Gangster and kind of took that to him. And from there, you know, the rest is history pretty much.
Yeah, how did he react to that track? Because that's one of those songs like This Ring where he says, you know, it's everything. It's everything about me in that song.
Yeah. I remember, like, I had been, you know, there was a bunch of tracks that building up to Come Gangster, you know, I tried to get, you know, on other projects, you know, of course, like when he was working on Absolute Power and all that, you know, but Come Gangster was like the first one where he really reacted like, yeah, I have to use that on my album, you know. And, you know, I put together that track specifically for him to do certain things on it. Like, there's different breakdowns in there where the music gets more intricate, and, you know, there's certain things that have to be followed, you know, with a pattern and everything. I put together with him doing certain things on it. And after he recorded it, he did, like, exactly what I intended for him to do on it. It was, you know, it was pretty dope because I didn't have to tell him, you know, like, I want you to do this on this part, or I want you to do that on that part. He just did exactly what I had in mind when I was making the track. So that's kind of how that one came together.
Definitely. Now it's an all-time classic. Now, was the opportunity, what did that mean for you in your career as a producer? Had you already hit your stride, or was it a big break for you?
I mean, it was big for me because, you know, I wanted to get involved with Tech beyond, like, you know, what he had done with Midwest Side and all that kind of stuff, because I was involved with Midwest Side, like, you know, way back in, you know, in the days, you know, in the late 90s and the early 2000s and stuff, and I was working with Don Juan and Diamond over there and doing some stuff for Tech that never came out. And ever since he moved to Strange, you know, started working with Travis and building that, I hadn't been involved with it. So that was big because, you know, finally, like, you know, I could work with Tech and, like, on that level, you know, on projects that are actually coming out, you know, and being distributed. So, yeah, it was big for me.
Yeah, definitely. Now, how did you first originally get involved in music? What's your background?
Well, I've actually been playing piano since I was about, you know, when I was 7. I started playing piano and learned a lot of instruments at a really young age. And I actually started making beats when I was probably like around when I was like 10, 11, and 12. You know, I used to just, you know, make my own like little projects and stuff like that. I actually used to rap. A lot of people don't know that, but I actually had a few of my own little projects that I did, you know, back in the days a long time ago. And you know, as things progressed, as I got older and just started doing more production, I just kind of, you know, decided to stick with that, you know. And I learned how to play, you know, piano, guitar, bass guitar, and drums when I was young, so I just kind of utilized everything that I knew about music and put it into, you know, production.
You said you're playing since you were seven, which begs the question for me, what's the name Seven mean? Why did you come up with that moniker?
Yeah, it's pretty much because I've been doing some music since I was seven. So a lot of people would always ask me, you know, because I actually, back when, you know, in Kansas City, in the 50 MCs days, in the Midwest Side days, I was, like, super young compared to everybody else. And, you know, everybody would ask me, you know, how old are you and, you know, how long have you been doing music? Like, when did you start and everything? So, you know, I always had a story because I was really young and, you know, I started, you know, making beats when I was, like, 10, 11. So I tell people that I started playing piano when I was seven. So that's kind of where it came from.
Yeah, it definitely shows. You know, you got a lot of good chord changes and stuff. So, yeah, it definitely shows. What do you think helps you the most as a producer to be able to continually crank out compelling music for the audience?
I just think, you know, that it's, you know, just trying to stay creative as possible. It's really hard with music the way it is now because everything is, like, super saturated. Everybody's trying to sound like everybody else. The great thing about Tech, what he does as an artist, like, staying independently is, you know, he never is one to, like, follow what everybody else is doing. You know, he's really his own artist, and he kind of, like, you know, he has his own sound, and it doesn't sound like anybody else. And that really, you know, helps me a lot as a producer because I don't have to make something that's like something else. You know, I can always be creative and, you know, I always feel like I'm doing something new when I'm working, you know, with him. You know, he never calls and, you know, he's never like, you know, I need something like, you know, the new B.O.B. single or, you know, I need something like the new, you know, Kid Cudi single, anything like that. He's always like his own artist. And that really helps me, you know, to stay creative, always, you know, allows me to try something new. And, you know, it always just sounds fresh that way.
Yeah, it helps you stay loose.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Now tell me about the latest track, Fans. What input did Tech give you before you made this track?
When I did Fans, you know, we, I was asking what input did he give me before we worked on that?
Yeah.
Well, really, that track was actually a part of, like, a batch of beats that I sent him, like, early on when we were working on All Sixes and Sevens. And, you know, going into this project, he really didn't tell me a lot about, you know, what he wanted to do or really anything, especially, like, early on. You know, there wasn't really anything specific that he wanted. So I was really just, you know, it was part of an early batch of beats, and I was trying a bunch of different, like, directions that was different than anything Tech has ever done. I think the people will hear that, like, when All Sixes and Sevens finally comes out, it's like, you know, the sound of this project is unlike anything that Tech's done. It doesn't sound like KLG or like Killer or anything else. You know, I really can't, you know, compare it to any other project because it's so different. So Fans was just, you know, it was a part of me just experimenting with different sounds in a different direction for Tech. So
okay,
that's kind of where that one came from. So
yeah, yeah. And for those who don't know, you can get this track by pre-ordering All Sixes and Sevens, Tech N9ne's Dedication to the Fans. We're going to play a little snippet for that real quick.
I love you, Kansas City. You fucking supported me. It started here first, nigga. Then it spread to everywhere else, nigga. You are the reason that I go everywhere I go. You took me to Switzerland. You took me to Amsterdam, nigga. You took me to Australia. You put me on the fucking Pay Dues Festival. You put me on Rock the Bells with Damian Marley and fucking Nas and everybody. Thank you to all my fans.
I was down on my luck, out of my bucks, growling my gut while in the rut. How I was smiling when foul is piling on up. I was proud and I bust loud and enough to rally him up. My style as a child, it was rowdy and rough. Such is life when the dope ain't selling, the soap ain't smelling, right dough ain't swelling. No hope, but nobody ain't failing tonight. Into the contest with nothing in my palm, just a microphone and God next to Tech to bless, and I'm set. I'll won. The people voted for me to take the pay. Was faced the way it happened. The show fell on my graduation day. So I chose the show to go open foe. EPMD and Kwame, that's how it was supposed to go. I didn't know I was chosen, never expected it. But these people saw it while them other haters rejected it. I tore through the hardest part of this art when most neglected it. I poured out my soul onto the paper and you accepted it. You are my heart, you are my soul, I thank you for all you've done for me. You are my heart, you are my soul, my fans made it for everyone to be. You are my heart, you are my soul, I thank you for all you've done for me. You are my heart, you are my soul, my fans made it for everyone to be.
Forever accepting nine souls
in Kansas City. A lot of fans is with me. Started doing shows with crazy flows and it expanded quickly. Tech Nina's band of hip.
All right, now it's fans, and you can get that by pre-ordering all 6 and 7. Speaking of that, we're going to open up the lines for a few of these fans that have been waiting. CJ, you're on the line.
What's up?
What's going on,
what's
man?
What's going on?
Not much.
You got
some questions? Where you get your info? Where you get your influence from?
Influences? You know, I actually listen to a lot of 80s music, you know, like Prince, Phil Collins, you know, that combined with a lot of different indie rock bands, you know, besides just listening to, you know, 80s music, of course, because that's where I was, you know, I grew up in the 80s and everything. It really just, I listen to the most, like, you know, obscure indie rock bands most of the time, you know. And that, I mean, really, honestly, that's really where a lot of my, like, musical influence comes from.
Yeah.
So,
what are,
yeah.
I'm sorry, what are a few of those bands that maybe some of the fans could look into if they want to get an idea?
Well, some of the bands I've been just listening to now, I mean, it changes so much because so many new bands come out. But, I mean, there's a few that I've been listening to a lot. There's a band called Mystery Jets that I'm a real big fan of. There's another band called Good Shoes. Of course, you know, Grizzly Bear, you know, they're starting to get, like, a little bit bigger now. Yeah, you know, that's kind of like, you know, on the indie rock side of things, so... you know, I just mainly just try to listen to a lot of, like, independent music because that's really where, to me, like, you know, creativity really shows in independent music, so.
Definitely. Sorry to interrupt you, CJ. You got any other questions for Seven?
Yeah, like, how do you feel about Mayday and Stevie Stone being signed to Strange?
You know, Mayday, I actually really haven't got a chance to check out really, you know, what Mayday's doing. I really don't actually know a whole lot about the band yet. You know, the little bit of music that I have heard of them was like, it sounded pretty dope to me. I actually heard a remix that Mayday did to Big Bad Wolf. I don't even know how long ago it was or anything like that, but that specific remix that they did, you know, that it was like really dope to me. Like, I actually sort of like that track more than the original Big Bad Wolf. So, you know, they sound dope to me. If they're, you know, they're gonna do more stuff like that remix that they did, then yeah, I'm all for that. And Stevie Stone, I've actually started working with Stevie Stone on some songs for him. We just recently, in the past couple of weeks, started working on some stuff, and Stevie Stone is dope. I like him a lot.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for calling, CJ.
Thank you.
All right, Renee, you're on the line.
Hey, what's up, Seven? How are you?
Good, good. What's going on?
Oh, not much. You know, I was going to ask you about how you come up with these fresh-ass beats, but I've kind of been listening, so it's kind of already know now. But I just heard you say that you're working with Stevie, and that's great. Love,
yeah.
Stevie Stone. Glad he's on Strange.
Yeah, me too.
Can't wait. Yeah, I can't wait to see him. Actually, there's the 6 and 7 tours will be in Atlanta on the day of my birthday. I will be there.
Oh, wow.
I'm so excited.
That's dope. That's dope. Yeah, that's a good birthday present.
Oh, hell yeah. I'm going VIP, too. I mean, what else can you ask for?
Yeah, no, definitely.
But yeah, you know, I just wanted to say that, you know, the beats are dope. I like I like the combination of the rock and the hip-hop. Love it.
Yeah, we did a lot of that on all sixes and sevens. I did a lot. There's some tracks on there. I don't want to give it away yet, you know, but there's some stuff on there that's, you know, it has a real rock influence on it. And, I think you're going to like it a lot. So.
Yeah, now, I will say that song that Tex got with Travis Barker.
Huh?
Love the song Tex got with Travis Barker.
Yeah.
Yeah, Raw Shit. I love it. Love that.
Yeah, me too. I like that one a lot, too.
Oh, hell yeah. Well, you know, I'm not going to keep you because I know other people want to talk to you as well. Just wanted to tell you I love the music. Keep up
Thank
the good
you.
Work. And
Thank
you have a great day. And
okay,
I
you
will
too.
Holler at y'all later. All right.
All right. Thank you, Renee. We always appreciate you calling.
I know you do.
All right. Now, for those, you heard her talk about the All Six and Sevens tour. If you haven't gotten your VIP package, go to strangevip.com. Now, I want to go back to production here because, well, hell, you're a producer, so let's talk about it. Do you view yourself as a producer with a certain sound or aesthetic?
Well, I wouldn't say that so much, you know. It's kind of like when I'm working with a different artist, I kind of try to, like, different artists, you know, whoever I'm working with at the time, I kind of try to tune into their sound and a lot of times try to create, like, a new sound for them. Like, when we worked on Ever Ready, which was for, you know, the first time that I really worked with Tech on a major album, you know, I really, like, back then I tried to focus on, you know, him and his sound, and that was a big part of creating, you know, what the sound is that you hear now today, you know what I mean, like with Tech sound. In my opinion, a lot of it came from Ever Ready, and that was just kind of, you know, I tried to figure out a sound that worked for Tech, and not to say that, you know, anybody else that he has, you know, worked with in the past hasn't contributed to his sound, because they definitely have, but, you know, I just feel like at the time I was really trying to hone in on who he is as an artist and who he could be sound-wise. So, you know, whoever I'm working with at the time, I like to try to figure out their sound and, you know, and build something from it, you know, and create a sound with them. So I feel like I'm versatile, and I feel like it changes from, you know, from artist to artist. But I try to throw in my own little personal elements with anybody that I'm working with, though.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I thought you were going to say that, man, because one thing I like about you is, you know, your versatility. I can't listen to it and be like, you know, oh, well, that's obviously Seven, like you could with the Neptunes, but I love not saying anything bad about the Neptunes. Love them. For Cohen Strangler, you crafted the overall sound of the album. You're like on 90% of it, and I noticed the inclusion of many pianos and orchestral instruments. Was that done intentionally before you created that batch of beats, or was that
actually,
by chance?
No, actually, what it was, you know, me and Lynch have had some, you know, in-depth conversations about what he wants to do, you know, like, as an artist, you know, and the biggest thing for him is he wants to change from album to album, kind of like how Outkast has, you know, with every Outkast album that you listen to, it's always, you know, they introduce a new sound on every album. No album sounds the same. You know, in my opinion, when Outkast dropped something, they always, like, change. And Lynch wanted to do the same kind of thing. You know, it was, like, real important to him that everything on Coat Hanger Strangler didn't sound anything like Dinner in a Movie. So, you know, and you know, that can be said for Manimal Lecter that we're working on now, too. Like, he doesn't want anything that sounds like Coat Hanger Strangler. So when we started working on Coat Hanger Strangler, you know, we tried a few different approaches, you know, until it was like, yeah, that's the one. And it just happened to be, you know, that he wanted to do something with more, like, grimier drums. You know, the drums have a little bit more of a swing to them, lots of pianos and lots of strings, and, you know, he wanted to go, like, darker than Dinner in a Movie. So that's kind of how that came about on that project.
Yeah. So real quick, before we take some more callers, you guys are working on Manimal Lecter?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, shit. All right.
Yeah,
Let's take a few more here. Adam, you're on the line.
Hey, Seven, how you doing?
What's going on, man?
So I've been following you for years and years and, like, a whole bunch of your mixtapes and stuff. And you were talking earlier about your influences. It seems like there's a lot of, like, international influence as well. Are there, like, other international bands that you kind of really pay attention to in crafting your sound and stuff, or that you're just listening to?
Well, I mean, international bands definitely, you know, like, of course, like Radiohead. And then there's this artist, his name is Plan B. Are you familiar with him?
Yeah, the grime scene rapper.
Yeah. I like Plan B a lot, so he's a really dope international artist.
What's your favorite Radiohead track?
My favorite Radiohead what?
Your favorite Radiohead track?
Well, In Rainbows is my favorite project that they put out. I mean, that's like, you know, that album for sure. But you know what? I have to say that my favorite overall, like, ever Radiohead song is Creep.
Classic.
So, yeah.
All right, cool. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Adam. Let's get Christian on the line.
Hi. What's up?
What's going on?
Not much. Got people yelling at me to get off the phone. Yeah, my question was, like, what made you be so creative? Like, how did you get so creative?
How did I get so creative?
Yeah.
I really don't know. I mean, I really just, you know, I play a lot of video, you know, I play a lot of video games, watch really, you know, strange, you know, independent movies and stuff like that. You know, I kind of just try to do anything that's not mainstream, you know, to try to get influence from it. And, you know, I think that helps with staying creative.
Yeah, I try to make my own beat sometimes, but it just sounds like shit.
Oh, yeah. You just got to stick at it, man. You just got to just keep at it, man.
Yeah. So when are you guys going to get Boondocks and Brother Lynch together?
Man, I don't even know, man. I don't know. As far as, like, the features go that Lynch does, you know, that's actually a good feature, man. But I think that they would collab good together. But, you know, that's kind of, like, on him. He kind of picks out who he wants to work with and, you know, and who he doesn't want to work with. So
yeah.
I'm not sure, but that'd be a dope collab.
Yeah.
All right.
That's pretty much all I had.
All right. Well, thanks for calling, Christian.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Now, how does working with Lynch compare to working with other artists on Strange?
Well, me and Lynch, it's a little bit different working with him because every time we work on a project, you know, we always talk about, like, the approach and the idea for the project. There's a lot of times that artists will just pick out beats from me, like, you know, that, you know, I'll just have some beats laying around, just whatever I've got at the time, you know, and I'll send them tracks and they just pick from what I have. But when I work with Lynch, it's never like that. You know, I'll put together stuff specifically for him, you know, and most of the time, if he doesn't, like, get those beats, I don't, you know, end up selling them or anything. They just kind of sit there because I made it, like, specifically for his project. So, you know, it's kind of a unique working relationship because when I'm working on stuff for him, I'm only working on stuff for him. Like, I'm kind of, like, in that mode, and I don't normally work on a lot of projects until, you know, we're, like, done with his project, so I can kind of, like, stay in that mode and not have outside influences, you know, changing anything.
Does it affect your mood at all, working on a Lynch record?
not really. Like, I do say this, though. It does, like, when I'm working on his stuff, it's like during the wintertime is the best time to do, like, his stuff for me. You know, it really, for whatever reason, like, that season is good for working on Lynch beats.
Right. It doesn't inspire the bouncy party tracks or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah, it just helps with the whole mood, because he just wants to keep getting like darker and darker and darker. And like now with Manimal Lecter, like, you know, he wants to just, you know, go darker than anything, you know, than anything ever. So, you know, it's kind of a challenge because I'm doing it right now in the like springtime in the summer. So, but you know, it's coming out dope so far. It's just, you know, we just got to make it dark.
Yeah. Now, do you have to be able to relate to an artist to make good music?
I don't know if it's so much relating to them personally, you know, as it is just understanding them. You know, I think there's like a difference there. And I think that as long as you understand an artist, I think that that's what helps make, you know, that's what makes great music. Like Lynch, I used to be a fan of Lynch. Like, you know, when he put out Loaded and stuff, I mean, that was like, you know, back when I was in high school, I listened to it every day, you know, it was like one of my favorite projects. And, I never got into Season as much as some people did, but Loaded, I was definitely into that. So I was like a huge fan, you know, I was like, man, it would be dope if someday I could like work with him, you know? And, you know, just saying all that is like, you know, once I did start working with Lynch, it was like there was something already there. I understood him. I understood, you know, him as an artist. So.
Yeah, definitely. Now, how did it become? Because on Dinner in a Movie, didn't you do? Was it Don't Worry, Ma, It's Only Bleeding?
Yeah. I did that.
Okay. So how did you go from, you know, you had that and maybe one more track, or you had a very small amount of music on that one, to Coathang and Strangler, where you're on like 90% of it? How did that transition happen?
Well, actually, on Dinner in a Movie, I did a lot more tracks for the album. They just didn't end up placing on there. I did 3 tracks on Dinner in a Movie that ended up making it, but originally I did like 12 tracks with Lynch for that album. So I just think that they didn't end up making the album in the end because of the overall feel of the album. But it was kind of like, I think on Coathang and Strangler, the idea was more to keep it more cohesive and just have more of an overall feel to it, you know, so it's more of an experience.
I got to get, you know, you're reminding me of a track on there, Red Dead Bodies, okay?
Yeah.
did you put those babies in the chorus, or was that...
You know, I think that with like on Lynch's stuff, well, actually on a lot of my tracks, you may notice or you may not, but I put like a lot of times like real weird stuff in the background for like textures, and you know, sometimes they're turned down really, really low and you might not hear it, but it just helps complement the track in some way. You know, it can be like the weirdest thing, like just, you know, like water dripping or just the weird, just like, you know, scratching, like, you know, like just metal scratching against the door, or just something weird, you know, that I can put under there for texture that just always helps bring out something in the tracks. And, you know, the thing about the babies crying is you may not even notice it, but on a lot of tracks, like there's like, I can think like maybe like 5 or 6 other ones that you don't hear. I mean, that have came out, but they have babies in the background on Lynch's tracks specifically. That's like something that I've kind of been doing with him. And a lot of times they're turned down like really, really low. And I think on Red Dead Bodies, I think that he just turned them up really loud, you know, or just like added to them. But yeah, I think it was there in the background. He just like super enhanced it though.
Where did you get your baby samples from?
Man, I really just like find them from all over the place. I actually think that there's a couple of them where I actually just recorded some actual real babies crying and just like changed like the pitch of it and sped them up. And, you know, I always just try to do something, you know, like that or whatever, like always try to like record like real stuff, whatever weird things I can find. So.
All right. Well, shout out to the babies who made the record. We're going to take a few more calls here. Freddie, you're on the line.
What's going on, Seven? I just wanted to know, what was your favorite album off of the, favorite song off of the Coathang and Strangler album?
My favorite song from Coathang and Strangler? Probably The Coat Hanger, that song, the first one on there. That song, and okay, I have two favorites, and one of the other ones that's my favorite, I didn't do the track, but it's Look, It's a Dead Body. So The Coat Hanger and Look, It's a Dead Body are my two favorite songs from that album.
All right,
thanks for calling, Freddie. Let's see, Rob, you're on the line.
How you doing? I'm just calling in to ask you, how many songs like Fans can we expect to see on the new album? And when I say in terms of Fans, I mean like a song well written with, you know, a meaning behind it instead of just like a throwaway type party song.
All sixes and sevens. Now, the one thing I'll say about it is that, like, beat-wise, that song is the only one that's like it. You know, there was no others that are, like, you know, that sound like Fans, you know what I mean, that was used on the album. But this album, you know, I mean, I don't want to give away too much about it, but it's less of the party and more of, like, more personal songs, you know what I mean? There's a couple on there, I think, that are just definitely more, like, personal-driven, and it's less party songs. So I know everybody will be happy about that.
All right. And in terms of Speed of Sound, I'm not sure if you've heard of that song. It's a song with Tech N9ne and Bone Thugs and Harmony. There was a snippet released, and then the full song wasn't out, but Tech N9ne released just his verse on an acapella on his Bad Season re-release. And I'm wondering, I'm wondering if you know anything about the song. If, you know, if the song's complete, if there's a version out there, if we're ever gonna get it, or what's going on.
I actually don't know anything about it, but I actually wondered the same thing as you. So, but I don't know anything about it.
All right, because there's this Bone Thugs and Harmony website, and basically thousands of people, thousands of Bone fans were really curious about this song, and as a part of them,
really?
I don't know, maybe you could talk to Tech N9ne and see if it's possible to get that out there, because a lot of people would love to hear the finished version.
Yeah, definitely. I'll let them know.
That would be great. All right, thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks, Rob. All right, Jared, you're on the line.
Hey, what's up, Seven?
What's going on?
Hey, first of all, I really, really like to say thank you for Fans. That track was fucking amazing.
Thanks, man.
When I first heard it, honestly, the beat and the lyrics, man, it made me cry, like, on a no-homo level. Like, it just touched me right at the heart, and I was just like, damn, you know? I was just like, when other artists would do something like that for his fans, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, that's one thing about Tech, man, is that, I mean, of everybody that I've ever worked with, he's like, man, everything that he does, for real, it's like for the fans. That's why he does it. Like, I mean, that's not even just something that, you know, that he tries to, like, portray in his music or anything like that. Like, he's really, really like that, you know?
Yeah, and I totally get where you're coming from. It's just like, I don't know, I listen to a lot of music. I'm not real. I write music. I mean, I used to rap a lot, but I get most of my influence from Tech N9ne, but, you know, when I was thinking about something, I listened to a lot of music during, you know, my lifetime, and I've never heard an artist come out and actually do a song for just his fans and say all the stuff, you know, if it wasn't for us Strange Music fans, he wouldn't have anything. I mean, who does that? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, Tech is he's definitely unique in that way. But the one thing I'll say is that, I mean, he's definitely genuine, you know. It's all, like, for real, you know. He really does it for his fans.
Yeah, he's not putting on a front with nothing. And he's
not
doing it just to make everybody happy. He's doing it because he wants to.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm trying to figure out my other question. What the hell was it? What's that?
It was something about his inspiration, right?
Yeah. What inspires you, man? Like, who? I mean, yeah, you went over the guy that first came on. He already took my question, but, like, what drives you? You know what I'm saying? Like, how can you put in 110%, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, it's really just, you know, when I start working on a project and it's one that I can really, like, attach myself to in a way,
I feel like we're creating something, you know, and I'm not just, like, giving, you know, whatever artist, you know, these beats or whatever, you know what I mean, that weren't necessarily specifically made for them, you know. Whenever I can work on a project that's, like, you know, I'm actually attaching myself to it and helping create this, it really brings out a lot in me, you know what I mean? I really feel myself, you know, being more creative, and it's a lot easier to be creative when I'm involved with a project like that. Of course, with all the stuff on Strange, it's always like that. You know, I'm always really involved with it. So,
all right.
Yeah,
that
helps a lot with creativity.
I got one weird question for you, and I don't expect a truthful 100% answer, but I'm trying to figure it out. He said that there's going to be a lot of songs on all sixes and sevens. Can you tell me if there's going to be a double disc?
Man, I don't think I can say. I don't think I can say on that one.
You can't say on that one. Yeah, I didn't expect that, but you know.
Yeah, I don't know if they want me to yet. So.
Yeah. I don't blame you, man. I don't want you to get in trouble or anything. But when I first my first Tech N9ne album, I actually bought. I mean, I've been listening to him for years. I've been listening to him since I was 10, 11. I'm 21 now. The first album that I heard some of your production was Killer.
Killer, yeah.
Yeah, that was my favorite Tech N9ne album. That and KOD.
Really?
Those were my two favorite Tech N9ne albums of all time. I mean, don't get me wrong, they were all great, but the production on KOD and Killer were just amazing.
Thanks, man. Thanks. Yeah, they definitely stand. I mean, the production has always gotten like better and better and better, like with each album. So
That's why I'm going to continue to listen to Tech N9ne, because it just seems like every album that comes out, his lyrical content, the beats, and everything just improves by like 40, 50 times.
Definitely, I agree.
Hell yeah.
One more question before I get out of here. Are you going to be in Spokane on May 30th for the concert?
Oh, I'm not. I'm not going to be.
No. Dang, because I got my VIP package ordered and everything.
Yeah, no, that's dope. I normally, man, I'm kind of like, I'm a homebody, man. I don't really get out too much, so, yeah.
For sure. All right, well, Seven, I appreciate everything that you've done for Tech and every other Strange artist. Not a huge, I mean, don't get me wrong, I like Brother Lynch, but I'm not a huge fan of him. I recently listened to the Coat Hanger Strangler, and it just seems like his lyrics are the same in every single song.
Right.
I know that's
a
harsh thing to say, but it just seems like his lyric. I listened to ICU and the other song with Tech N9ne, and it just, if you listen to his lyrics, they're the same.
Dude, I gotta let you go, or Lynch to kill me.
Okay.
All right, Seven.
Thank you.
Yep. Bye bye.
He really will. Back to production in general, Seven, I was wondering if there's any advice that you would give to aspiring producers out there.
A lot of people ask me this, you know, and it's really like the one thing I'll say is if it's something that you want to do, nothing's easy and nothing nothing is going to come quickly. You know, it takes time. I'm 30 now, and I've been doing this since I was, you know, like about, like really like selling beats, actually selling and making money, be it, you know, in the beginning, back when I was like 14 or 15, where I was only making, you know, $100, $200 a beat, you know. But I've been doing it since I was like 14 or 15, you know, actually making money off of it. And it took me a really, really, really long time to get to the point that I'm at now. And it's just all about patience, you know, and realizing that you have to stay on the grind. You know what I mean? Like, you know, while everybody else is sleeping, you should be working. You know what I mean? And while everybody else is working, you should be working. I mean, that's just the way that it should be, you know, and that's the only way that you'll really accomplish anything, you know. So that's what I would say, you know, it's just, it's not easy. It takes time, and you got to work at it.
Definitely. Now, I watched this video on YouTube a while back that was sort of a peephole into your creative process. I found it interesting in the video you started out laying down and just listening to records. Do you find most of your inspiration to come this way, or do you consciously dig for samples with something in your head already?
It's a little bit of both, you know, half and half. You know, a lot of times when it comes to samples and just listening to records and stuff like that, I'll actually sample something and then replay everything and then change it in a certain way. Because, of course, you know, after you chop up a sample and speed it up and do all different kinds of things to it, it sounds like a completely different, you know, song. So, you know, I can replay certain elements of it and, you know, there it is. You know, that's kind of how some ideas come about. And then sometimes, you know, I'll just sit down at the piano and just come up with something. You know, I'll just mess around with some chords or something, you know, until something hits me, and that's, you know, that's how it comes to me sometimes. So it's a little bit of both.
Definitely. Real quick, on that KOD track, was that you on piano or was that a sample?
No, it was a sample.
Where was that from?
It was from an artist named Gonzalez.
Okay, Gonzalez. Fucking
yeah.
Cool riff. In an interview I did, or that we did with Chris a while back, he mentioned that he comes up with an idea for a track at the dinner table. He'll relay it to you over the phone, and before he knows it, you have the track pretty much as he heard it. Does this happen often, or is this some sort of special relationship you have with Chris?
Yeah. That's how me and Chris work. So the way that me and Chris work is he'll have an idea. It can be like, you know, a drum pattern, or it can be a melody or a bass line or just something like the weirdest thing. It can be just a hook idea. And what he does is he'll just call me basically and leave the message on my voicemail. And then I just turn it into a beat from there, you know, just like, it's just me, like, listening to the voicemail, you know, and then playing the first piece, like, coming up with it, just listening to the voicemail, like, over and over and over again, like, you know, 50 times until I got it all, you know, and then I send it to Chris. So that's how me and Chris work. He's the only artist that I work with like that, though.
Wow. Now, just wondering, who are your favorite producers right now? And of all time, really?
Well, Rick Rubin has always been, you know, huge, like, you know, influence to me. And one of the reasons is because Rick Rubin is so versatile. You know, I mean, he's produced, you know, he hasn't just produced, you know, like, you know, Beastie Boys. I mean, he's, like, has produced so many different genres of music, you know, from, like, you know, Red Hot Chili Peppers. And, I mean, he's done just about every genre of music. And I think that that's really interesting that he can produce every genre like that and be successful at it, you know, and still come out with, like, you know, great music no matter what genre he's in. And you know, I would say he's a big influence. And, you know, right now I'm really into to Odd Future, Tyler the Creator. I think that he's really dope, you know, like, of course I think he's like a dope artist, but I actually think he's a really good producer also. You know, I don't know if everybody knows, but he produces, like, all of his own music and everything, and, you know, I think it's, like, dope in what he does.
Okay, definitely. What are some artists that you'd like to work with and some projects you like to put together? And on top of that, would you ever want to do you ever want to experiment with different genres of music other than hip-hop? I mean, maybe you already have, and I just about it.
Yeah, of course. Like, I actually worked with a lot of different, like, you know, well, I won't say a lot, but I worked with a few different indie rock bands, and, you know, like I said before, I'm really influenced by that. So, you know, I've done a few, like, personal projects that are sort of, like, new wave-driven, you know, indie-type, you know, sound, you know, projects, and, you know, that I've, you know, yeah, those are some stuff that that genre of music I definitely want to get more and more involved in. As far as artists that I want to work with, I mean, it would be, like, you know, a dream, but if I could ever work with, like, you know, Andre 3000 is my, you know, favorite
artist, you know, that would be dope to work with him someday. You know, man, as far as, like, it just, you know, hip-hop goes or whatever, it's kind of like, man, I haven't been, like, a huge, huge fan of it for a while now because I just don't really, you know, like, love everything that's, like, coming out now. But yeah, you know, like, Outkast, you know, that I would love to work with them someday.
Yeah, definitely. We're going to take a few more callers here. Rob, you're on the line.
Located out of Okinawa.
Okay, Rob, do you have a question for Seven?
Yeah, man. I was just wondering how much you pay me charges for beats usually.
Oh, man, it kind of just varies from artist to artist, you know, and, you know, that's something I don't really, you know, I don't give out the information like that, but, you know, it just depends on the project, for real.
Okay. Yeah, because we love him, man. We just hooked up with Lynch, and we love the beats you did for him, man. So, I mean, we're just trying to get some contact information. Maybe you can shoot that and let everybody know where to go if they want to get in contact with you.
Yeah. I definitely will. You just got to contact my management, which is Travis over at Strange. So.
Okay. All right, man. I will do.
All right, well, thanks for calling, Rob. Now, Seven, do you have a Twitter or anything like that someone can bug you on?
Yeah, definitely. I have a Twitter. It's Seven Tracks, just SevenTracks.
Okay, cool. So if you want to get a $5 million track from Seven, hit him up at Tracks. Man, well, let's see. Who else we got here? Devin, you're on the line.
Yo, Seven, I'm just calling in to give you some respect, man. Your guys'
man,
music
thank you.
Inspires me, man.
Thank you, man. Like, man, that means a lot to me.
Like, nah, and, like, your new song that just came out with Fans and, like even Caribou Lou, man, the classics, they're all the great, man.
Yeah. Like, Caribou Lou, I actually didn't do that one, but that one is, that's one of my favorites from ever writing. But, yeah.
And, like, no, like, I was hearing Buddy saying it even before, like, he's right. For you guys to go out and make a song just for your fans,
yeah.
Like, word, that takes a lot of respect to do that, man. I got mad respect for you guys out there.
Thank you. Yeah, definitely. Like I said, you know, Tech, I mean, that's what he does. That's what he's all about, you know, the fans, for real.
Yeah. All right, man. Thanks. You have a good one.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Devin. Jake, you're on the line.
Hey, what's up, Seven? How you doing?
Good, man, good.
I was telling you, you know, when you were talking earlier about how I used to rap, I was going to tell you, like, two of probably my favorite XV songs are My Only Girl and The Perfect Pair, because you're...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so
yeah.
One of my questions was just, like, is there anywhere on the web where you actually have those mixtapes? Because I'm actually, you know... I, like, just love your verses and stuff on both tracks.
Yeah, let me think. You know, I actually probably need to, like, repost those up so people can get them. I'm not sure. You know, XV, he has a blog, like his own personal blog, and I think that they might be posted up there. I'm not 100% sure, but I think that you can get them
from
there.
Well, I know, like, the Coolniverse, that got deleted because that had a lot of you guys' stuff.
Yeah. We took the Coolniverse down when he signed to Warner. So and they like started all new stuff. So he's got like new blogs and everything, and I think that he did post up all of the old mixtapes. Man, if not, I might need to just do that. You know, I might do that here in the next like week or two, is just get everything old posted back up.
Yeah, because like all the Complex Experiments, like even when you're saying, you know, like Seven on the Beat, I think all that stuff is just, that's my favorite.
Thanks, yeah, man. We haven't done a project like that for a minute. But you know, we have a new project coming out in 2 days. Zero Heroes. It comes out on the 15th.
Yeah. I'm gonna be like ready to get that because you know I've always like been one of the first like XV fans, and you know that's I mean now everything's like getting a little bit more mainstream. You know, but it's still classic Vizzy, but I'm just saying all that old stuff with like both of you on it, where it's just like you do the production, he lays the verses. I mean that's still always going to be my favorite.
Well, Zero Heroes is a lot more like that. You know, we tried to take it back to, like, you know, Square in the Circle and, like, Everybody's Nobody. Like, those days, you know, it's, like, a lot less Vizzy Zone and way more Everybody's Nobody, Square in the Circle type of stuff. So if you like that, I think you'll like Zero Heroes.
All right, yeah, definitely. I'll be looking out for that. And I was also going to ask you, like, I asked you once if you're getting, like, about the, if you ever sampled the Pure Imagination Willy Wonka. Do you ever think,
yeah,
like, just because I knew you said that was a throwaway, are you ever going to, like, think you'll release that ever?
I will. The thing is, like, I keep telling him, X, like, you know, we need to put those songs out. I keep, like, bothering him, like, you know, all the time, like, man, I'm about to, like, release another one from that project, because that actually came from like the original Kid with the Green Backpack album. It was one of the tracks on there. And you know what? That song, it was a song called Imagination, was actually on Zero Heroes. But we decided to take it off just because we had a couple others that we wanted to put there instead, but it was actually on Zero Heroes. So if there's the song that I leak from Kid with the Green Backpack, whenever I do leak that one, it's going to be Imagination. That'll be the next one for sure.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, because that means the original Green, like, cause I know that was, you know, back when you guys kind of made all, like, the Square and the Circle and stuff, because I know that album is pretty old, so I've always wanted to hear the original one of that.
Yeah, yeah, I'm going to put it out soon. Like, we'll put it out someday. I mean, I won't say soon, but eventually, you know, all the tracks will be out, and we'll release it. Like, we've talked about always doing that, you know what I mean? We always talk about doing that for, like, all the fans and everything. It's just putting out that original album, and, yeah, it's a lot different, though. It's a lot different than what we do now. We were definitely in a different place, you know, like way more left on that album than where we're at now. So yeah, we'll put it out. We'll put it out someday.
All right. Yeah. Cool. I'll be looking forward to that.
All right. All right.
All right. All right. Thanks a lot, Jake.
All right. Thanks. Have a good one.
All right. Scope, you're on the line.
Whoop, whoop. What's up, man? I just got one quick question before, you know, so everybody else can get through. Cause I was in that line shit waiting a long time. How do you plan on reshaping hip hop with just your beats?
Man, really, I think it's, you know, all about just being, you know, creative. And you know, the thing is, like, I'm not necessarily trying to, like, you know, reshape hip hop or do anything, you know, really, you know, extraordinary like that. I really just want to, you know, me just having people that like my shit, you know, like, it's not necessarily have to be millions and millions of people. I mean, when there's people that just tell me, like, the few amount of people, like, that tell me that they do, like, love my music and everything, I mean, that means, like, everything to me, you know. But I always just try to stay creative and do whatever I can to be different, you know, and that just comes from listening to anything other than hip-hop. So
yeah,
hopefully that answers your question.
Yeah, it does. It does. I was just thinking of, you know, future references of how, you know, would you take it? Like, is it going to be like, you know, new millennium shit, you know, not like this ordinary shit we all keep hearing and shit, you know what I'm saying? It's strange.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking, you know, it's going to be like the shit, man. Can't wait for it to come out.
Definitely.
All right.
Thanks.
All right.
Well, I'll be all over it, dude. I'll catch you guys later.
Thank you.
Woo-woo.
Woo, woo. Nick, you're on the line. Nick, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Sorry,
yeah,
I had to wait. So, yo, what's going on?
Nothing, just not much, just, yeah. I was just wondering what tracks you produced on the new album.
All sixes and sevens?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did a bunch of different ones. I can't give out all the information on it yet, you know, but I did a bunch of them on there, so.
All right.
Thank you very much, Nick. Hang in there, man. Condolence, you're on the line.
Hi, I have a question for you. I was curious, what's your insights on today's hip-hop instrumentals compared to, like, years like the 70s and the 80s and how much it's changed and the approach that you'd like to see?
Well, I mean, of course, like, so much has changed, you know. I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing, you know, either. But, you know, like, production has changed a lot because of computer programs, you know, people being able to use, like, Fruity Loops and just having everything, like, right there. You know, you don't have to
have, you know, a bunch of different keyboards, you know, anymore. Like, I mean, my studio is, like, filled with tons and tons of keyboards. I mean, and I barely use any of them anymore because I can just download the soft synth of that keyboard. You know, that has a big part to do with the way things have changed. I mean, things don't sound the same anymore because it's not that grimy breakbeat with that sample, you know, that's sampled off a record anymore. And people are, like, sampling, you know, MP3s now and, you know, just doing, you know, their drums inside different programs. And, you know, that changes the feeling of everything. And I think that's how, like, a drastic, you know, I mean, I think that's, like, changed, like, hip-hop drastically. But I don't think it's a bad thing necessarily because, you know, I think that everything needs to change to stay, you know, like, valid, to stay, like, important. I think that if hip-hop would have stayed the same as it was, you know, in the 80s, I don't think it'd be around anymore. I think it needs to, like, to progress in order to stay, you know, relevant.
Right, needs to adapt.
Yeah, definitely.
Gotcha. All right, that's cool. Well, that's all I was just wondering. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Now, Seven, what can we expect from you in the near future? What are you working on right now?
Well, you know, of course, like I said, we're starting to work on Manable Lecter a little bit now. Let's see, I'm doing Stevie Stone's project. You know, I'm starting to work on that a little bit. XV has Zero Heroes coming out in a couple days on the 15th. And I've been working on, like, we're always working on XV's album, you know, with Warner, Kid with the Green Backpack. I've been working on that for the past, like, year, and we're still working on it now. So that's something that, you know, is just ongoing until we get it all finished. And I'm actually working on a new artist. His name is Freddie High. He's part of, like, you know, like, our crew, like me and XV and Freddie High and Says Batters with Square Bound Music. So I'm getting ready to put out Freddie High's music coming up soon, a few joints from him, and then hopefully we can follow up with a mixtape. And I'm also thinking about doing my own project soon. So that's a few things that I got coming up, hopefully here in 2011.
What would that entail, your own project? Do you rapping, singing over it, or instrumentals?
Nah, I'm just going to do, like, 12 tracks. I'm not going to rap or anything on it. I'm just going to do all the production myself and put different artists, like whoever I want to, you know, collaborate with on it. You know, I'm not going to, like, worry about getting any big, you know, names or anything like that, anybody that, you know, any huge artist or anything. Just really whoever I can work with, whoever I feel like working with at the time, you know. So, you know, I'm going to put that together and I think what I'm going to do is put out, like, a video of each song of me making the beat. So it'll be, like, 12 different songs. And, you know, whenever the song drops, or rather than, like, leaking the song, I'll just leak the video of me making the beat and putting the song together with the artists that are on it. And then, you know, you'll get to hear the full song when the project comes out.
Oh, that's dope. That's going to be dope, man. Well, is there anything you'd like to say to the fans before we wrap this up?
Man, just that I really, really, really appreciate, you know, all the love and everybody that hits me up, you know, saying that they love the production and they love what we're doing. I can't express how much I appreciate that. It just feels so dope to know that people are fans of something that you create. And, of course, you know, get ready for all sixes and sevens. That comes out June 7th. And, ready for Zero Heroes, XV's project, that comes out on the 15th.
And where can they go find that, Zero Heroes?
Well, it's going to come out, like, on all the major blogs, you know, so you'll probably be able to check for it anywhere. I mean, of course, it'll be, like, on datpiff.com that day, and maybe on all the sites that day. So, I mean, you can get it from, like, Two Dope Boys, Nah Right, Rap Radar. I think the Datpiff will have it first. So that might be the first place that you want to check.
All right, man. All right. Well, we'll definitely be looking out for that. So anyway, Seven, man, really appreciate you taking the time to do this, man.
I appreciate it, too. Thank you so much.
All right. All right. Well, that was Seven, everybody. A staple to the sound of Strange Music. I appreciate appreciate him doing this for the fans. I mean, Seven, his music has been a soundtrack to a lot of our lives, you know, and we all appreciate that. All right, so for all of you out there, make sure you go pre-order that All Sixes and Sevens and get that coat hanger strangler if you haven't already. If you want to scare the neighbors, that's the perfect CD to do it to. And for the tour, make sure you get your VIP package at strangevip.com. So that's all we got for today. Once again, want to say thank you to Seven. That's all we got. Keep it strange. Out.
Strange Music.